Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. Many middle-class taxpayers in North Carolina spoke out this past week on Tax Day about the shift in the state's taxes in the last few years. Lawmakers have given massive breaks to corporations and the wealthy while applying sales tax to things like car repairs that affect families. Here to talk about the tax shift and how tax cuts have affected teacher salaries and the funding of public education is Cedric Johnson with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center. Well, Cedric, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, you recently wrote a report about North Carolina's tax swap, and I want to talk about that. Tell us, first of all, what does that mean, tax swap?
Yeah, so the tax swap is happening here in North Carolina is essentially state leaders' desire for North Carolina to rely more on revenue from the sales tax and less from the personal income tax. And so that's been happening by us seeing an expansion of the sales tax base while we've seen huge reductions in the personal income tax rates.
And what does that mean for low-income and middle-income folks?
Right. So the sales tax is a regressive tax in the sense that we know that low and middle income families and individuals here in the state spend a much larger share of their income on things subject to the sales tax. So if we're taxing more things with the sales tax, then that's going to disproportionately hit those with the relatively fewer resources here in the state of North Carolina.
I think the proponents of this would say and have said that if you reduce the income tax on the wealthy and corporations, that leads to tremendous job creation, and that's why the economy is bouncing back.
Yes, we tend to hear that as a common point made in support of continuing to cut income taxes here in North Carolina, but that's not showing out in the reality of here in North Carolina. We know that the biggest benefactors of these tax cuts are the wealthy here in North Carolina, and that's just shifting the tax responsibility down to the middle and low income taxpayers.
They not only have made the swap, as you describe it, they've also reduced the amount of revenue that has come in. So overall, it's been a net loss for the state.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the common points that we make at the Budget and Tax Center is that, you know, making changes to the sales tax is not inherently a bad tax policy, but the way that we're doing it is detrimental to the long-term prospects here in North Carolina because the income tax reflects the economy much better in regards to capturing, you know, expansions. And then in recessions, you know, it gets hit a little harder. But we lose the revenue because the sales tax is just not as effective as the income tax in reflecting how the economy actually works here in North Carolina. And we actually did a look back to see, like, if we started back in 1994 and replaced the personal income tax and the corporate income tax with the sales tax, what we look like here in the state. And what we found is that we would have lost $13 billion over that period. Period, and revenue that would have no longer been available for public schools and health services for the elderly and poor. And so the implications are really, like, critical in regards to what we will be able to do here in the state of North Carolina.
And just in the last few years, these tax cuts have cost us several billion dollars.
Absolutely. And so, you know, and when you connect that to the conversations we're having around trying to give teachers increased teacher raises and some of the other important needs here in the state, when we're continuing to cut income taxes, which reduces the amount of revenue available, it raises the question of, can we really deliver on what we say we want to do here in North Carolina?
Do we have examples? I guess Kansas is an example of states that have made dramatic tax cuts.
Yeah, so Kansas is one of the states where they went full steam in cutting income taxes, and they are still dealing with, you know, huge budget deficits. We're looking at Louisiana and Wisconsin and other states that have made drastic changes to their tax structure, and now they're coming back to have to revisit those decisions in regards to just the limited resources in their states and them not being able to meet the needs of their residents.
Folks who are listening or read the headlines, they might see that North Carolina's revenues are above projections without any sort of context. So they assume then that, oh, everything actually is working the way that people have predicted.
Right. And so it's important to note that when we started making these huge tax changes to our tax code here in North Carolina, what lawmakers essentially did was they lowered the bar in regards to the amount of revenue we expected to raise. And so now that we're hearing that we're expecting better than projected revenue for the state, it's based on a lower bar. So you lowered the bar and it's like, oh, we did better than the lowered bar. And so, all is well. But that's not necessarily the case in North Carolina because we know we still do not have the resources we need to invest in the things that drive the state forward.
This is an election year, and politicians always make all sorts of claims in an election year. And one they frequently are saying now is that all this talk about cutting education isn't true, that the last few years we spent more on public education than ever before. I know part of what your work is to track education spending. So how do you respond to those allegations or claims?
Right. It's an exercise of looking at the bucket of funding versus what the bucket of funding is funding. And so the other piece that's missing in that point about us spending for public education here is that we've had around 76,000 more students in our public schools since the beginning of the recovery from the recession. So when we look at per pupil spending here in North Carolina, we're well below pre-recession levels of investment in our public schools. And so the implications are, if we want to actually boost investments in our public schools and other public investments, where are we going to get the money from if we're continuing to cut income taxes?
And that really speaks to, I guess, the main part, one piece of this report, which is if we continue to make massive tax cuts, there's no way we can meet our essential needs.
Right. You know, it's a function of, you know, matching rhetoric with what we're actually able to do. And I think that's where we find ourselves here in North Carolina today.
Interestingly, there are some folks who are pushing for more tax cuts this summer after successive years. What would that do to our economy?
So it would continue a trend where we're finding ourselves just in a very limited resource constrained environment in regards to looking at the state budget. And we all acknowledge that there are needs given the huge cuts that we've had in recent years in so many areas of the budget. But if you're going to put more dollars in, you know, Governor McCrory laid out his plans. The question that has not been answered and that we look forward to learning more about is, how will we pay for these new initiatives and investments that are being talked about?
One of their proposals is to raise the floor, the amount of income before people start paying taxes. And the supporters of that idea claim that's better than, say, reinstating their income tax credit.
Right.
I know the Budget and Tax Center disagrees.
Right. So we totally feel that, based on our analysis, that a state EITC is a much better policy tool to ensure that low and middle income taxpayers here in North Carolina keep more of what they earn. With the increase in the standard deduction, what you're essentially doing is using an inefficient tool that will basically continue to provide tax breaks to wealthy North Carolinians who would not benefit at all, probably, from providing them a small tax cut versus funneling those benefits down to low and middle income taxpayers who are actually going to spend those dollars and boost local economies. And so we continue to push for a state EITC as the much better policy tool to achieve that goal of helping low and middle income taxpayers keep more of what they earn.
Is that one of the most important things that lawmakers can do this summer? They're about to come back into session. They're having all these variety of budget and tax discussions. Is the EITC one of the things they could do?
Yes. So that's one, along with stopping these scheduled income tax rates that will go into effect in the years ahead. And so if we're looking at opportunities to stop the trend that has put us in this situation that we find ourselves in today, stopping those income tax cuts along with bringing back the state EITC are two initial steps that can really start to get us back on track here in North Carolina.
Well, let's hope they follow that advice. Thanks for all you're doing to keep us informed, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, Superintendent of Public Instruction June Atkinson on her priorities for the upcoming legislative session. Stay tuned.